Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome to this very fun episode of TFL Talk, because what are we talking about today, Tommy?
We are talking about the top 10 cool cars no one actually bought last year.
Yeah, and as a bonus, we're going to do the top 3 cool cars that people actually did buy. And of course, we're not going to be talking about just why people didn't buy these cool cars, but we're going to talk about why they didn't buy or why we think they didn't buy them.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And we're going down the list. And it's some interesting vehicles on this list, a lot of that you'd expect and some that you would have no idea.
Yeah, this list was originally on Gear Patrol, and we've added a few of our own cars because, well, we know what cars aren't selling and which cars are selling. So let's cut to the open and let's get right to it.
Congratulations, you have now tuned into TFL Talk, where we discuss everything automotive, whether it's cars or trucks. This is the one place where you can be sure to get independent and honest reviews. Let's get back to the show right now.
All right, Tommy, number 10 on our list is a Porsche, believe it or not.
It is the Panamera. So it's the four-door luxury sedan hatchback thing.
And how many did they sell in 2020?
3,447.
That's not a lot.
It isn't a lot, and I have a theory why.
I think Ford sells that many F-150s a day.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Now, the Panamera is a super cool car.
Yep.
It's a little weird to look at.
Yep.
But the reason it doesn't sell, I think, is pretty simple.
It's four doors?
No, it's not that it's four doors. It's why would you get a Panamera over a Cayenne?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, with the Cayenne, you're going to get pretty much the same power plant.
Right.
You're going to get a lot more utility.
Yep.
And you're going to get just more everything, I think. More height so you can see over other cars. I think you're actually going to get a car that is certainly much more in vogue than a Panamera is right now. But the Panamera is kind of cool in that, you know, you don't see a lot of them. Cayennes, you can't drive down the road without, you know, seeing at least one of them.
Personally, I would get the Panamera because it's lower, it's more fun, it's a little bit quicker. It's super, super fast as well, we should mention. But for the average consumer, if you can afford a Porsche and you are super into Porsches, maybe you already have the Boxster, the Cayman, or the 911 in the garage. If you want the family-oriented one, there's not a lot of reasons why you would get the Panamera over a Cayenne or a Macan.
Yeah, and the other thing about the Panamera is because it's a four-door, four-seater Porsche, it does depreciate quite a bit, and I think people know that. And so it's hard to shell out, let's say, $150,000, which you can spend on a turbo, as for a car that in a few years will be worth a lot less. There's also the other problem, Tommy, and you know this, the Taycan.
Surprisingly, the all-electric Taycan did really well. So they sold 3,400 Panameras,
yep,
but over 4,000 of the all-electric supercar, which is pretty hard to believe.
4,414 to be exact. And they're kind of similar. I mean, you know, they're both five doors if you count the back,
mm-hmm,
right? And if you put them next to each other, you know, the biggest difference is not styling, because they're kind of both low slung and, you know, kind of look a little bit like pregnant turtles in some ways. But, you know, one is electric and one has Porsche's traditional gasoline power plant. Which would you get if you had the choice?
I think I would get the Taycan, but the Taycan is much more expensive.
Yeah, Turbo S. Holy cow, those things are expensive. And almost 200K.
I want to say even the base one is much more expensive. I think you can get into a Panamera, the entry-level one, for somewhere around, you know, 70. Let's find out. I'm on the website right now.
You can't. The Taycan, a base one, probably starts at over 100 and easily goes up to like 120. And by the way, what do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below, and I'd love to get your opinion, Tommy. What do you think of the fact that they're calling the Taycan the Turbo S? I mean, there's no turbo, and there's, you know, no internal combustion engine whatsoever, and yet they're using the same name as if it had it. It's a little confusing, if you ask me.
It's crazy. So I got the numbers. The Panamera starts more than I thought, 87.
Okay.
Taycan starts at 103,
yep,
for the 4S. Funny enough, if you get the Panamera E Hybrid, that one also starts at 103. So you can get kind of the gasoline version or the electric version. Now, the one I would want is the Sport Turismo, you know, the little station wagon?
Yeah.
I think that's a really cool car.
And are you confused by the fact that the electric car is a Turbo S in its highest form?
No, that doesn't bug me so much. I think that it's something that, you know, us car enthusiasts are all up in arms about, but I think the average consumer has no idea. They don't care.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just a little strange that, like, you're, you know, getting a bigger battery, but it's called a turbo. Anyway, let's go to number nine right now. And number nine is a car that I love, but that didn't sell very well. It's the Lexus LC.
Right.
1,325 units.
So they sell this in both coupe and convertible form.
Beautiful car. Oh, beautiful.
The most stunning car for sale on the market, I agree with you. A choice of both gasoline and hybrid models, but they only sold just over 1,300 units. It is pricey. It starts at nearly $100,000, but you just can't get a better-looking car on the market.
Remember we had the convertible recently, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. The other thing about that is because Toyota has so many credits from selling hybrids, they're one of the few car companies that can actually still sell a traditional V8, right? Everybody's gone to like either a twin turbo V6 or a straight six or even a four cylinder turbo, but this one still has a proper V8. I think it puts out over 400 horsepower, sounds phenomenal, and you know it's going to be bulletproof, and yet only, you know, 1,300 units. I don't get it, dude.
Well, I think Dodge has no problem selling traditional V8s.
All right, besides Dodge.
But I think part of the reason it doesn't sell is, so
you know, they spend a lot of money paying Tesla for their credits.
Yeah, so many people buy these high-performance vehicles based on numbers they see on paper. And on paper, the numbers aren't that impressive on the LC compared to something more exotic in terms of 0 to 60, for example. But it is just a great car.
Yeah, and I think style-wise, it's probably my favorite car of the last 10 years. It's a car that if you wanted to buy it and hold on to it, it will be timeless, it will be sexy, it will be beautiful. I think 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, people will be lusting after them and they'll be selling for big bucks at the auction sites. And yet, right now, they're not selling.
They are not as dynamic to drive as some of...
It's a Grand Tour.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite as fun to drive as like the F-Type.
And it sounds better than it goes. You know, it sounds really powerful, but, you know, it doesn't throw you back into the seat like even a Model 3 might.
No, absolutely not. It's let's see if I can figure out the specs here on the website. I want to get the exact number. So the LC500 is 0 to 60 in 4.4. And then let's look at the hybrid. The hybrid is a little bit slower, I believe, although it does have this really interesting, it's like a combination of a 4-speed automatic and then the Atkins Cycle V6, and it's got this weird augmented sound that makes it sound like an F1 car.
Just get the convertible. Just forget all that. Just go for the convertible. Take your most significant friend along, be that human or canine, and go down PCH1 with the wind in your hair, the sun in your face, knowing that you are driving the most beautiful car in the world right now, I think, up and down PCH1.
I would not get the convertible.
Why not?
I don't like the convertible as much.
Really?
Yeah, I think with the coupe you get this really kind of sweeping curve around the B pillar and the C pillar, and I just think that looks better.
There you go. All right, let's go to number eight. That's another car that I actually love and would love to own. Actually, we owned one of these, the first gen. So what is it, Tommy?
The Audi TT.
How many did they sell last year?
Yeah, not many at all. And so some of these cars on the list are not selling many because they're being discontinued.
Yes.
The Audi TT is not being discontinued.
Which is a surprise.
Yeah, and they still only sold 830 of them last year.
Yeah, you know, so the Audi TT is... has been for a long time kind of one of these cars that, you know, was born in Bauhaus styling. So the first generation, that's the one we recently had, was just spectacular. There was more stainless steel in that car than you could ever see in any other car on the road. Like, remember that little flap that goes over the radio that had Audi TT on it, all the bezels around the air vents, just a spectacular car. Now, the current car has become a little less Bauhaus, you know, a little less round, a little bit more kind of squared off, purposeful. And the one that I love, which I would love to own actually, is a TTRS.
I don't really understand the TT.
Okay.
I've never thought it was that good to look at. I think they're ridiculously expensive for the performance you get. And I don't know. I mean, I don't understand why you'd get this over like an RS3.
Look, here's the thing. Okay, the RS3 And the TTRs, of course, share that five-cylinder, angry turbo power plant that sounds like a pissed-off V8. But to me, the TTRS is like an affordable smart man Audi R8.
Yeah, but it doesn't look as good, and it's not as quick, and it's just not as exciting. I don't think the TT has the soul of a performance car. It doesn't have the comfort of a luxury car, and it doesn't have the looks of a Grand Tourer.
Look, back in the day, right, there was this like German arms race to create a really good roadster, right? And they first came out, and they were kind of lame, right? So at least in terms of performance, right? The first Audi TT, even if you got the top dog, was a little turbo that put out like 220 horsepower, I think. Then BMW came out with this E3, which was also kind of lame at that time. And then Mercedes had the SLK.
Right.
SLK is gone.
Well, sort of, more or less.
More or less.
Just discontinued, yeah.
The BMW turned into the Z4.
Right.
And the TTRS became the most focused, the most sporty, and the most track-worthy of these three. And so I'm going to be really sad when it goes away, because obviously at 830 units a year here in America, they can't maintain that. They doesn't make any sense.
But why would you get the TTRS over a Cayman? I mean, the Cayman's a better driving car in every way.
All-wheel drive.
Yeah, but it's got 4 inches of ground clearance. You're not going to be using
all-wheel drive in Colorado is pretty important.
And I think it might be a Halodex system. It's not even like a...
I don't care. It's all-wheel drive.
It just does not interest me. I think
you could use it the whole year. That's my point.
Yeah, the TTRS looks cooler, but it's doesn't do it for me.
All right. Well, you know, we just talked about this car. So what's number seven?
Right. Well, number seven is also in this world.
This was my dream car for a while.
Right. The Audi R8. Mm. So in 2020, they sold 581 units. Think about that. They only sold under 300 units more of the TT than the R8. That's how few TTs they sold. But let's talk about the R8.
Yeah. So once again, remember when we had the R8 and we had both of them? We had the V10 and we had the V8, right? Because the V10's out of the Lamborghini.
But that was the...
First gen.
This
is the current gen. I just fell in love with that car. By far, guys, the first generation, and I haven't driven the new one, but the first generation with the manual was the quintessential manual vehicle you could ever... You know, there's that cliche, you know, it has like a bolt action where it's so precise, it's like click, click. That's what that manual transmission was like. Driving it was just pure ecstasy. I've never driven a better manual in my life, and, you know, the car, styling-wise, is super sexy. It's all-wheel drive. But I think they're having a hard time competing with, the 911, because the 911 has all that kind of heritage behind it, whereas the R8 is pretty new. And I think the people who wanted them and who lusted after them, who had the money to afford them, have bought them. And now there's not much of a lot. There's not a lot of people who now want them, apparently. Well, apparently not, because 581 units is not much.
I mean, the issue with the R8, Dad, is I think the first one really captivated people because it looks like the most premium supercar in the world. It had this incredible look, and it had good performance.
Aluminum.
But it was pretty affordable. This current R8, the latest
generation. As the supercar goes.
Yeah, but the latest generation, I'm looking at the website right now, the 21 starts at 143,000.
Yep.
Rear-wheel drive.
Yeah, they added that.
Yeah, and then if you want the all-wheel drive, it starts at 196. And for 196, you're in like McLaren and entry-level Ferrari money, and it doesn't look quite as good as those. Maybe it performs as well, but it doesn't have the soul of like of the badge, right? It doesn't have that McLaren panache.
So we just have the McLaren 6, which one do we have? I forget. It wasn't the 720, it was the 6. 680, I think, S.
Man, Dad, this is not our world.
We had the McLaren, I already forget which one we had. We've been in a number of McLarens.
I think it was a 570.
Oh, 570, it was the 570, sorry. So I've driven both the 570 and the 720. And those are, you know, those are high-strung, I'm going to say incredibly agile, athletic cars that excel at, you know, one thing, and that is going around a racetrack. And that's where they come to life. But a McLaren on the road, oh my, there's a lot of compromises, Tommy. The thing is so low that you have to have, of course, the little lifter in the front so that every time you go over a curb, you don't damage it. You also, pay a lot for those cars, and they do depreciate pretty quickly, whereas the R8 is more of a kind of a, you know, better screwed together, better version of that car that you can use as an everyday vehicle. All right, Tommy, what's number six, please?
Number six on the list is a car I don't think I've ever seen in person.
Neither have I, except for the auto shows.
Apparently, they still make it, though, because they sold 305 last year. It's the Kia K900.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those cars that flies under the radar and is, you know, a huge understatement in terms of what it brings to the table. I think it's popular in Asia, but here it just, you know, doesn't work whether it was a K9 or a K900. The name is problematic. The segment is problematic. The car is great, but no one knows what it is.
The weird thing about the K900 is it's a very luxurious car meant to compete with Lexus and BMW and Mercedes. However, the Hyundai Kia Group already has a luxury brand, Genesis.
Yep.
You've got cars like the G80 and the G90. So why build the K900 and market it as a Kia and not as a Genesis? I will never understand that, but it is a really good car.
Yeah, it's like if you want a Lexus but don't want to spend as much money for it, but you want kind of the same creature comforts, the same reliability, you know, the same kind of sense of effortlessly gliding through the world in a super luxurious and quiet car. This is the one to get, except no one does.
We drove this car a couple of years back, and it was a really nice car. And I have no idea why they build this under the Kia name, why they really build this at all. It's just it's a mystery to me.
Yeah, I'm with you, dude. And then I think at this point, the name is probably, you know, you have one chance to make a first impression.
What's wrong with K900?
Well, it sounds, you know, K9, right?
Right, I mean,
do you want a car in
Korea, I think it is called the K9, actually.
Right, but I think in America, that is a dog, right? And, I mean, if you called it, like, not the species name or, you know what I'm saying, but like a type of dog, like the bulldog, right? That'd be cool. But a K9...
You can't call a luxurious four-door sedan the bulldog.
How about the Chihuahua?
No, that's horrible. I think K900 is not necessarily a bad
standard
name.
Standard poodle?
No. I think it is a phenomenally...
Labradoodle?
I think it is a phenomenally...
Oh, come on. I'm just having fun with you. Don't be so exasperated.
I think it's a phenomenally weird-looking car to begin with. And, I don't understand why this is still a thing. But they're still making it, although I don't know if there's a 21 model.
Yeah. Once again, 305 units, not really putting a big dent in the world. All right, number five, dude, what is it?
Yeah, the Nissan GT-R.
Yeah, 304 units. Why they're still selling it, I don't know.
Well, so the GT-R, when it debuted in the 1800s, it was a great vehicle because it was affordable for the performance you got. But for some reason, it just keeps getting more and more and more expensive. So the 2021 GTR starts at $113,000, and I think it goes well into the 200s if you want, like, the Nismo.
Yeah, I know. So when it first came out, obviously everybody was over the moon. My whole shtick with that one is it should have been an Infiniti. It shouldn't have been a Nissan, because what it did was it made the halo car in Nissan, not the traditional halo car, which it's always been, which is the Z, but the, of course, now the GTR, which meant that the Z was relegated to just kind of, you know, ponder on with no updates. And I'm a huge Z guy, so I'm like, why didn't you just make it into an Infiniti? But you're right, the car, you know, at one point had pretty much every record there was, 0 to 60, and it just has become, over time, old and long in the tooth, and it should have been updated a long time ago. And why they still sell it and who's still buying it at these, you know, incredible prices, I don't get.
Yeah, the Nismo starts at $210,000. It still uses a six-speed automatic, dual-clutch six-speed, by the way. And even though the performance is good and they have updated it a little bit over the years, it just needs a full new refresh and it needs a full new face and a redesign.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing that, like, the Corvette goes on for so long between generations, but I think that's because it's become iconic. The GTR, of course, is a Skyline for a long time in Japan, so it also is iconic, but not iconic here, right? It's iconic in Japan. Why they keep
in mind,
soldiering
though,
on. Hand-built engine, it's so cool.
They keep improving the Corvette, so they typically release a base model in the Z06 and the Z01.
Right.
The GTR hasn't really improved in 10 years.
They made a Nismo version, and
right, but that's
they
just,
made like they gave it like gold wheels, and you know, yeah, you're right. I'm just joking. They need to do a lot more than that. And it's you know, every year that goes by and they don't improve it, I just kind of scratch my head and I'm like, guys, You've got this halo car that drew so many customers into your showrooms, and now it's just sitting probably at the back of the lot because, you know, the average Sentra buyer isn't thinking GTR.
Okay, this is the absolutely absurd one. This is on this is not on the Gear Patrol list,
yeah.
But we added this one because it needs to be talked about. So obviously the GTR, you can kind of make a case why it didn't sell because it's
right.
old and it's very, very, very expensive. But this one should have sold, and it just isn't because it isn't that old and it's not in that ultra exotic segment. It's the Volvo V90. They sold 304 GTRs last year. They sold 279 of the full-sized Volvo wagons.
Yeah, probably far the sexiest wagon in the world at this point.
If this,
maybe the AMG Mercedes, but this, no, I think this, it, sheer look-wise, this is a much better-looking car.
If this doesn't prove that Americans just don't buy station wagons, I don't know what does, because it is a really good car, and it's just, like you said, great to look at. Big, big car, and it's kind of the quintessential Volvo wagon, and it's just also under 300 last year.
So we just had one at the office, the Cross Country, if you
that
remember.
Was the 60.
Oh, no, that was
the V60.
Oh, wasn't the 90?
Yeah, it was the little guy, I think.
Anyway, we had a Volvo wagon here, the Cross Country, which is cool. But I was after driving it, I walked away with two impressions, right? First, really sexy, low slung, cool, really great if you have an animal that can jump in the back super easily, right? We did that video, just how much easier it is for an animal to get in the back. But when you're in the thing, you just feel like you're almost, you know, below ground. In Colorado especially, which is home to every SUV and truck known to man, sitting in a low-slung wagon just feels like you're always looking up at other people.
You can still get it in both front-wheel drive and all-wheel drive.
Yep.
There's also the sporty R design, which is definitely the one to get. But yeah, it's got the under kind of stated Swedish design. I would love a full-on R or Polestar like the old ones, but even still, I just have nothing really all that bad to say about the V90 except it is pretty expensive.
I have one other thing that I'm not all that hot about. When it first came out, they had this really cool infotainment system, right, that was Google-based. You could sweep left and right. It's just feeling really dated now. It needs to be redesigned, and it needs a little bit more updating. It just feels like yesterday's tech.
I can kind of understand that. Maybe.
It went from cutting edge to yesterday's tech in 5 years, which is hard to believe, but I feel that's what happened. And speaking of yesterday's tech, Tommy, what's number three?
Yes, it's one that is kind of also a shame. This is one that I think they are discontinuing.
Yep, for sure.
It's the BMW i8 Coupe, and then, of course, also the convertible. So they just sold 191 of these cars last year.
Yeah, I'm actually in the market for one. I want to get one for us because it started out in 2014. By 2015, that's when they sold the most. I think in total they sold about 6,000 in the U.S. And they're becoming affordable. So, you know, the new one started like 120. You can now pick one up for like 50K. I think it is drop dead gorgeous looking. It's a design that even, because it was first introduced like in the early, like 8-9 years ago as a concept. Maybe even longer than that. And to this day, it looks fresh and current and really cool. It does have some downsides. It only has a pretty small battery. You can go like 20 miles on electricity. It does have a 3-cylinder engine. So combined, it puts out, 350 horsepower? It's not a lot.
Somewhere in that territory.
Which back then was a lot, but today it's not.
Well.
0-60 at 4.5.
Hold on.
Well, in 2010, 350 was a serious number.
But it came out, the first model year was 2015. And in 2015, you could have gotten a Model S performance that would do 0-60 in 3 seconds.
Right, but this was like BMW's kind of, in a way, you could have your cake and eat it too car, right? You can have a performance car, and at the same time, it's going to get incredible fuel economy. And it did. Not as good as the Tesla, but compared to the other German rivals, it did really well.
But it wasn't that quick.
4.5-ish.
Yeah, and it didn't get that good of fuel economy. The issue is...
It's like 36 mpg on the 3-cylinder mini engine.
It's got a horrific identity crisis. Like, it's a gorgeous car, and then BMW decided, let's not make it that quick. But
it's a GT.
Yeah, but it looks like it should be a high-performance car. I mean, it needs to have like a sub-3-second 0-60 to match its looks. It should have been all electric. It should have been, just insane specs. But what it was a very expensive plug-in hybrid with a 3-cylinder. And I just don't think people understood that.
So the guys who buy these are probably guys, your generation is, well, actually, some of the bloggers bought them. But for the most part, it's, older guys who have got money. And when you get older, getting it out of a car becomes a thing. And these things are really hard to get in and out of. If you park too close, those gullwing doors don't open. You'll hit the car next to you. And then there's a huge sill, so you got to kind of get in like a race car driver where you put your butt in first. And it's just a pain in the ass to get in and out of. But once you're in it, it's magnificent.
I just don't understand why they spent hundreds of millions to develop a car from the ground up.
Carbon
the,
fiber plastic.
Yeah, but why didn't they put an engine out of a lawnmower in it?
And why didn't they just make it all electric? Just get rid of the, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand why. It didn't
you love sell. Mini, so don't call your Mini engine a lawnmower.
It is a lawnmower engine, but the car is the size of a lawnmower, so it's fine. This is a proper-looking supercar. It should have supercar specs, and it was just pretty expensive, and I don't know. It didn't offer the same
anyway, I'm
performance.
Looking for one. I'm going to get one. I think they're gorgeous, and I think at $50K, it's a hell of a deal.
They are very good-looking, but that doesn't help you when a Model 3 long range goes zipping by it.
Yeah, but then I'll go zipping by it when it's at the supercharger and I'll feel good.
Okay.
All right, what's number two, dude? This is another car I would love to buy, but they are crazy expensive.
This is another one with a horrific identity crisis, the BMW NSX. The Acura NSX.
BMW
NSX. Try that again.
Yeah, that would certainly be an identity crisis. 128 units. Usually, the NSX is usually the car that's discounted the most every month. Like, if you read the stories which cars are being discounted, I believe last year they had a $17,000 discount on the NSX.
So we should repeat that number to make it clear. 128 were sold last year. And this, unlike the i8, is not being discontinued. This is going on for another model year.
That's going to be another one that you should buy now and hold on to in 30 years from now. It's got all the recipes for a highly collectible car. So it's a hybrid again, right?
Right. But this one is actually quick.
Yeah, it's quick.
So this one is a high-performance vehicle. And, yeah, it also looks great. I think it's a really just a beautiful-looking car.
I got to drive it both on the track and on the road and really enjoyed my time behind the wheel. There's so many issues with this car, right? The way it was rolled out, right? Remember, it was kind of being rolled out. Jay Leno did this commercial when the Porsche was being rolled out. There were three cars that were, and they're all electric Ferrari, right? And then this thing was delayed and delayed and delayed, and by the time it came out, like, the moment had passed.
We should say not all electric.
No.
It was the Ferrari was the Ferrari LaFerrari.
Right.
And then you also had the 918, which was a hybrid.
Yeah.
And then the McLaren P1.
Right.
And
so there's this time when all these supercars were hybrids.
Yes, and the NSX wasn't in that same level. It wasn't like $1 million.
Right, but it was
car.
Like an affordable version of that.
Yeah, it still is very expensive. Starts at 157.
Yeah. So minus 17.
What?
That's how much they discounted last year.
Minus 17,000. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it's a cool car. Once again, if people are going to buy a supercar, I think they want it to be a screaming loud V12 or V10.
Loud, dude. I think that engine puts out 500 horsepower.
Yes, but it's a V6.
Yeah.
Or make it all electric. So you got to go one end or the other. Make it burn fossils or make it.
It's got this crazy like hybrid drive line, right?
People don't understand that.
So the front wheels are driven by electricity.
The second you say hybrid, people think Prius. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's got 150 million horsepower. If you say hybrid, people are going to think Prius.
Like I say, drove it on the road, drove it. You know, it's a really cool car. It's really well built. It's built in America, dude. Built in America, I believe in Ohio, in a special assembly plant. And the first NSX has become highly collectible, right? NSX has always been the supercar for the people. But at 100 and that's hard to
exactly
say.
Exactly, supercar that's, for
yeah, the
people.
I remember when the first NSX came out, they were like 80K, which was still, you know, kind of affordable because you could get a Legend for like a 40 or 50. But now the car is like double the price of any, or triple the price of any other Honda out there. It's hard to justify that.
So the number one car on our list is another mid-engine car. This one is also going away, but it still was holding on for 2020. It's the Alfa Romeo 4C. They sold 99 of them.
I was just watching this Top Gear, like the dream road trip, where Jeremy Clarkson loved the bejesus out of this car. I've gotten to drive it a couple times. And it's like it answers a question that no one ever asked, right? Do we need a competitor to the Lotus? A Siege, right? Is it a Siege or a Evora? Which one is the Lotus that competes with it?
Dad, this is not my world. I do not know.
Is it a Siege?
Is it the, well, a Siege is nothing. That's
no.
nothing.
No.
There was the X-Siege with an X.
Right.
There's also the Evora. And then the old one was the Elise. Elise,
that's it. Thank you.
That's been dead for like...
Right, but that's the question that this answers.
Right.
And the answer is apparently no.
Yeah, I don't understand this... The whole very expensive but also very slow kind of thing of the 4C.
It's just beautiful.
I think it's ugly.
That's more French, isn't it?
I think the front end is
sexy.
I think the front end is spectacularly ugly. It's got these weird bulging eyes.
It does have these weird bulging eyes.
It just doesn't work for me.
And it's not particularly quick, and it's not particularly...
237 horsepower. It is very light. But
easy to live with.
The other thing, too, is if you're going to make a pure driving car,
yeah,
it's got to be like a Miata and have a manual transmission. And this did not have the manual transmission. It had a twin clutch thing. But, yeah, it's just $67,000 for a 2-liter.
I mean, it's a toy, right? It's a track day car. You can't really take it across country because unless you're so minimalist that the only thing you need is a toothpaste and a toothbrush, right, because nothing else will actually fit in it, including, like, your Starbucks. And that's just a lot of issues that make the car very hard to sell.
I would just get a Miata. It's going to be better made. It's got a manual transmission. Obviously going to be slower and it's going to be less desirable 50 years down the road. Or a Boxster. Yeah, just get a Boxster. Exactly. All right, so... Next, let's talk about some bonuses. So
before you make fun of me, I'm sorry, Lotus, that I don't know your lineup backwards and forwards. And Tommy's, sitting there acting very smart, but he's on the website.
No, I have no idea what Lotus car.
You're on their website looking up their model line.
I'm just
so there's
going
an Exige,
now.
Right?
No.
Yeah, there's no Exige.
No, there's no Exige.
How do you pronounce it?
That car doesn't exist anymore, Dad. It's dead.
Yeah. Okay, but I'm saying that Lotus, right? Right. Right.
So here are the cars. I'm on their website right now.
What are the cars that they still sell?
Evora,
which I know, which is their, Toyota powered. I don't know why that thing exists, but go ahead.
That's the end of the list.
Just the Evora. So that's all that's left of Lotus.
Right. Well, there's also the new hypercar, which is coming out.
Yeah, which James May just did a video on.
Avija or the Avaya.
I know. Just come up with a regular name, Lotus. Please.
So there's the Evora that starts at 95. Right. And that is all they sell.
Okay.
So in the past, they've had the Elise.
Anyway, the Elise was the one that was like...
The Exige, which was kind of similar to the Elise.
Right.
And then, that's it.
Colin Chaplin would be rolling over in his grave if he saw what's left of
Lotus. I love British
Lotus.
Cars. I never got into the Lotus thing. Never was really my world.
Their thing has always been super light, but yeah. Anyway. Let's go to the bonus cars that are cool that people actually bought, Tommy.
So, when we say bought, we don't mean like F-150.
No.
Number one on our list is the Mercedes SL, the big Grand Tourer.
We always count down. Number three on our list.
Well, it's listed as one.
I know, but it should be number three. That's wrong. It's number three on our list is a Mercedes-Benz SL. They actually sold how many units?
432.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and then they sold 474 of its little brother, the SLC. That is going away, so the SLC is dead. But the SL is still being made. They sold over 400, and they both sold better than they did in 2019.
Wow. That's still not a lot of units, though.
No, it's pretty far off of...
Yeah, I mean, if you want a really cool and super inexpensive classic car, get yourself like a SL from two generations back. The only issue is it's going to be very expensive to fix. But if you hold on to it long enough, it will appreciate, right? I mean, you can see that happening with the Pagodas now. You can see that happening as we move up in the classic Mercedes-Benz timeline. They will appreciate.
You were going to have to hold on to that car
for a long time.
So long.
And spend a lot of money fixing it.
Just don't do it. I think
a lot of money fixing it.
If you want an SL, get a new one with a warranty, or get a really old one from like the 60s, 70s, or 80s.
Yeah, they're expensive, like Pagodas.
Those are
like $50,000 cars now.
No, but the next one, like the R, I think 107 was the internal code, the one I had. You can pick a good one of those up for $10,000.
And how much did you spend on it trying to get it fixed?
Well, mine was $3,000. I bought the cheapest one I could, and it was a disaster.
Yeah, exactly.
But just get a good one. You can get a good one for like $15,000, $20,000.
It's funny. That car is super expensive in Europe, but super cheap here.
Yeah.
Like so the Europeans love them. We just don't value them.
Or maybe get an R129 because those are going to start appreciating soon as well. That's the 80s one.
Mm.
But this generation is pretty good. The previous one, the one that you're recommending, I mean, they're kind of that under-engineered Mercedes era with the weird four-headlight thing. They did not do it for me, but...
All right, so the next one, number two, right, if we're counting, this one is the what, Tommy?
The LFA. So the Lexus LFA has been discontinued for a long time now.
So Haggerty just put that on its list of collectible cars. They sold three units. I don't think they actually sold three units. I think what happened was what ends up doing is dealers don't want to buy them, so they keep them in stock on stock, right, because I think it's for tax reasons or some other reason, and they're holding on to them for themselves, and then eventually, I think over time, they have to, like, actually title them, and then they become sold. But I don't think you could actually walk into a Lexus dealer and buy an LFA.
I disagree.
You think people are actually buying them?
Here's what happened.
Yeah.
Here's my prediction.
All right.
The dealers took hold of them.
Yeah.
They kept them, like you said.
Yeah.
And they've been appreciating. So, yeah. So they kind of took a dip.
And this was a year to get rid of them?
No. Yeah, dealers held on to them, and then they could just mark them up like crazy. I mean, it's a brand new unsold LFA. Technically, they did sell them. I mean, these are not used inventory.
Right.
These are three.
But maybe they sold them to, like, their relatives or their children or something.
I disagree. I think that these are three cars that were probably parked prominently in the front of the dealership with, like, a $50,000 markup.
50, probably more than that.
Well, let's say $100,000 markup. Yeah. And the dealers did that so they didn't have to sell them, right? Yeah. And they just liked having them there. They were pretty to look at. And then perhaps some super wealthy guy, maybe even in some place like the Middle East, came in there and said, hey, I want to buy that car. They said, yeah, you want to buy it. It's $100,000 over a sticker. And he said, here you go. Here's $100,000 over your asking price. And then they walked out the door with them. And that's how you get three units sold. Keep in mind, too, the number one car on our list is the Dodge Viper, which has also been discontinued. Last year they sold four of them, brand new. Same story as the LFA. I think some Dodge dealers bought them. Maybe the owner wanted to keep them around. They didn't officially sell them. And then eventually they sold them in 2020.
Yeah. Apparently there's still one LFA left unsold somewhere. So there's one out there that I guess people track these things that no one has yet bought. And the Viper, you know, the Viper got better as it got down. They figured it out, right? When it first came out, this is the current generation, not the previous generation, the newest generation. They tried to kind of out Ferrari, and people weren't having it. You know, you could not get it, unfortunately, with an automatic, and the guys who were buying them certainly wanted automatics. And then they finally turned it into a weapon, a track weapon, and they went and basically set track records around the world. Around the country, actually. And then by that point, of course, it was too late. The car was discontinued. And, they kind of figured it out after they stopped building it.
Part of the thing with the Viper, though, is the Challenger and the Hellcats were getting so good, they were becoming better.
And cheaper.
And cheaper than the Viper.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
necessarily in terms of handling.
I mean, the Viper only had, 600 horsepower? 640, if I remember.
Right, out of some V10. But in terms of straight-line performance, yeah, the Hellcats are better.
If you can get them to hook up.
If you can get them to hook up. Yeah, but okay, what about the Hellcat, like Durango and Grand Cherokee? Those will hook up.
All right, last question before we wrap this week's episode up, Tommy.
Yep.
Out of the 10 cool cars no one actually bought, which would you buy?
Probably none of them.
Oh, you got to pick one.
Honestly, I think there's a reason that most of these aren't selling. I would choose the V90. I think the Volvo V90 is a great car. I've never driven a Panamera, at least any of the ones in recent years, so maybe that's great too, but I think the V90 is the one. The Lexus LC is also a phenomenal car, but it's just a little slow.
All right, I'm going to give you a bunch of answers for mine.
Okay.
If I wanted the best-looking car, I'd get the Lexus.
Yep.
If I wanted the one that I think is a bargain, I'm talking about used, I get the BMW.
Yep.
I think that's a bargain. If I wanted to get one that speaks to my heart, you know, the passion in my heart, I'd get the NSX. And if I wanted to get one that kind of speaks to all that, I get the TT. There you go.
If you wanted to get one that speaks to all of that very
heart,
poorly, get the TT. Yeah.
That's, you know, the
beauty. I don't understand. Why do you like the TT so much? I mean, it's not that. It's basically, I don't want to say this because someone's going to be like, no, it's not. But it's still related to the Golf, the Volkswagen Golf. It is still front-wheel drive bias. It's ridiculously expensive for the performance. It looks okay.
The bargain, all right.
Is it a convertible? No, it's only coupe now.
You just said you hated the coupe in the Lexus.
Yeah.
I mean, you hated the convertible. You wanted the coupe.
I would get the coupe Lexus. But if you're going to get a bad car like a TT, at least have your hair in the wind, you know? That's what I'm saying.
It's not a bad car. Stop it. It's a cool car.
It's a bad car for what it costs.
All right, guys. There you have it. Let us know in the comments below if you're watching this on YouTube which one would you get. Remember, check out TFL Car, TFL Truck, TFL Now, TFL Off-Road. We've got some really cool videos coming up, especially with our new TRX over at TFL Truck.
Yeah.
And thanks for joining us for this episode of TFL Talk.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
See you next time. Ciao.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.